It's time to comply. It's the news according to me. Good morning. It is Tuesday morning now. Yesterday it was Monday morning, now it's Tuesday morning. It's so funny how that happens. The same thing happened last week. It was Monday, and then it became Tuesday. I think there's something fishy going on with this. I need to look into this whole thing. It's a communist plot. We have June 7th today, and it's 7 o'clock. Isn't that interesting? And this is the, well, we've had 375 episodes now, surprisingly enough. I'm surprised I've made it this long without someone arresting me, putting me in shackles at the airport. I'm really gonna jump all over this whole January 6th commission thing today. I was listening to Robert Govea, watching The Watchers. The guy with he's a defense attorney, and he really goes over this whole thing about how illegal this whole January 6th commission is. The whole committee is illegal. It's not even based on any kind of law. I think it's 503D or whatever it is. They're saying that they're operating under this investigatory powers of Congress, and so they've got Liz Cheney, and it's supposedly a bipartisan committee because they've got Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger in there, which is absolutely stupid. It's just stupid. So you found two partisans. They are going after individuals, and of course the whole time, and MSNBC is like the left hand of this whole committee. They're playing right into everything that they're talking about. It's a made for TV. In fact, here, this is interesting. Tucker really had a fairly good expose on this whole thing. He could have really nailed down this whole thing a lot harder. I think he could spend a whole week doing an investigation on what's going on with this J6 committee and really pry open the, somebody needs to. Tom Fitton probably will, Judicial Watch. I know he's gone after some things in the past, and I believe he's probably looking at it with, a critical eye. I don't know whether he's going to do anything about it or not. He's really big on getting FOIA information and reporting what's actually going on behind the scenes. He's been a pit bull in that respect. He's been going after those kinds of things. We'll see. We'll see what happens. This whole thing with Peter Navarro. Like I've said many times, they are not going to be happy until they've perp walked Donald Trump. They want to haul him off to prison in shackles. And they want to get it on all the national news programs and make him out to be the villain and the monster that he is. To him, in their minds, he is the biggest monster that has ever walked the face of the earth. He's worse than Hitler. They have so deluded themselves with this person that they've made up in their heads. Anything that is evil in this world it all stems back to Donald Trump. They have twisted, re-edited things that he said and they've just plastered that all over everywhere, to the point where young kids in school hear certain things that they think he's said, and he hasn't said those things at all. Or it was taken completely out of context, or they completely gutted the context and just edited the parts that they wanted him to hear. Speaking of political theater and the show must go on, the committee just hired someone from a news organization. I think it was MSNBC or CNN, one of the two. I think it's MSNBC. I don't know. Somebody, one of those alphabet soup places. And they decide he's the like a head producer guy. Because they know this show that they're going to put on this week. I guess they're going prime time with this whole committee. I don't watch television anything, so I don't know what they're going to do. But I guess they're going prime time with this whole investigation thing. And now you're seeing people on, there's some headlines on MSNBC coming across my news feed here that one of the things that they're saying is, yeah, there's Pete Buttigieg. He's blaming all the energy issues, the energy crisis, the prices going up is all because of, they're blaming the oil companies now. I guess that was what that's why we had gas down less than $2 a gallon. Oil companies. Where did I see this? It was an MSNBC article thing. It was the real sleeper of the January 6th commission or 6th hearing. This is, of course, this is real credible people here like Don Lemon talking to Bernstein. See, Bernstein was the guy who was in the middle of the whole Watergate thing a million years ago. And he wants his second chance. He's the guy who's all credible. He built all of his credibility going after Nixon. Well, now of course they're going after Trump, so they got to bring in Bernstein now. Another individual who's still lost in a world of he should be just, why don't they just send him to the home and let him live out his days playing checkers? Where was this one article? Yeah, it's in here somewhere. I know I read it this morning. Trump campaign told fake Georgia electors to use complete secrecy. See what else? What else is all this? Some of the crazy stuff that CNBC has had. Maybe I can, if I can just get. Let's see what I can do with this. I'm going to open this up and see if I can get to there. Here we go. This will work. So their videos. Here we go. Misinformation and fact checks. But basically, what the title of, I wanted to read the actual title because you just can't make this stuff up. It was something to do with he was attacked on January 6th. This was talking about the one of the Capitol Police. They only have four Capitol Police that have come out that have been vocal about this whole thing. They're the made for TV guys. And if you look at these guys, by the way, I'm sure that Mike Pence is listening to this. You've got no chance, buddy. Let me just put it real clear. You blew it. Okay, you've got no chance. You have screwed up. You have turned. Your political career's done. Okay, just be done with it. You know, I appreciated him when he was the governor here in Indiana. He did a good job, I think. I always had a bit of trepidation about the guy. I never really trusted him. Always felt like he was a little bit too pliable politically. Now, he would make good decisions, but it seemed like they were decisions he very carefully, thoughtfully, politically made. In other words, his political career was the motivation for his decisions. I always felt like that was the underlying motive for him. And I believe that's, we've seen that manifested in many different ways over the last year. And the next thing is, I don't see on here, but I know that I'm sure that they care. CNN, well, this is CNN. I think it was MSNBC. I thought it was MSNBC today. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was MSNBC that I saw that headline. Because they're all about the whole thing. Thing with the thing. Yeah, here we go. Let's just go to their channel and see what they got going on here. Their videos. Of course, they got Lawrence O'Donnell, who's, you know, one of the most credible people on the planet. We have... basically, the time for Trump's indictment for insurrection is now. See, will Trump finally be held liable for insurrection? And then the next one is the future of reparations. Is this the future of reparations? Let's see where else we got this thing here. Lawrence O'Donnell, Texas official. Yeah, you do. Zelensky shows the courage Putin doesn't have. GOP deniers. Election deniers are running to oversee elections. GOP election deniers are running to oversee elections. GOP forced to pull ads for being dishonest. DOJ raises stakes with sedition charges against Proud Boys. Ahead of us. Here's the thing that's January 6th committee plans to share previously unseen evidence, insider testimony. Zinke seeks to join cast of GOP dubious character candidates. MSNBC airs special coverage of January 6th event. I don't see it here. I went past this somewhere. And the basis was, you know, the time for Trump's indictment is now. That was their thing. This is their goal. They cannot wait to get this done. And of course, in all of this hullabaloo and all the mess, they all continue to wonder. What's in my cup? I have this. It's still kind of a mix. I have this mix of what is this? V8 Fusion and tea. That's what it is. It's V8 Fusion and sweet tea. It's pretty good. It's kind of my good morning. It's a good morning mix. It does a good job in the mornings. It's not too tart, sweet, anything. It's just kind of got this nice, refreshing kind of taste to it. It's peach mango and sweet tea. So it's kind of mild. Yeah, it's good stuff. Gives me the energy that I need to go after all this baloney that's going on. The January, see, now in the midst of all this stuff happening, you have to keep in mind, we have a border that's absolutely just going nuts. And we have one of the largest caravans now forming that's ever formed, because they're getting ready for Title 42 to since Title 42 didn't happen. Now where are all these people? Is there going to be anybody left in Mexico and in these South American countries? Should we just move down there? It's going to be wide open. Everybody's gone. They're all coming here. Voting then supposedly they're going to vote for the same policies that caused them problems down there. This is the most ridiculous. This is kind of like the people who move from California to Texas and they start voting the way they voted in California and wonder why it's turning into California. Do you see the connection here, folks? Do you see the reason for what's the common denominator? You start putting in these liberal lunatics. And I'm talking about leftist lunatics. People who hate this country. They hate what it stands for. They hate what it's founded on. The whole thing. They absolutely want to change our country into a democratic socialist. But when you start talking about a different... governmental philosophical idea, foundational philosophy. It's a lot of pHs in there. pH factor's gone up. When you do that over and over, and you have guys like Bernie Sanders, he wants a different form of government based on a different type of society. A whole foundational change. When you have a guy who steps into office and says, we are 24 hours away from fundamentally changing America. Fundamentally changing, not restoring America. Fundamentally changing it from its core. This was the statement that Barack Obama made right before he was sworn into office. We're going to fundamentally change the country. When you have his wife, is that what she calls herself? Comes out and says, we have to change our history, we have to change our traditions. Barack knows we have to change all these things. See, they like the idea of a benevolent dictator because they can just one person can get everything done. George Bush even has said, it would be a lot easier if I was a dictator. Now, I think he was trying to slam dictators at the time, but I think he also would have liked to have been a dictator in some ways. At the same time, I think that fact that Barack Obama would have loved to have just been able to just speak it and make it so. He used executive orders to the more than any other president up until his time. We have a situation here, folks. I don't think we fully understood this. The January 6th committee has been kind of in the background doing its thing. Now, everybody on the leftists, the radical leftists from MSNBC, those who've been living in this fairy tale land of this whole thing that they've, the storyline they've made up over the last 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. That Donald Trump, the monster, has taken over and we must do everything we can in our power to get rid of him because the end justifies the means. And obviously, we cannot have him coming back into office, no way. Because look what damage he did to the country and look what damage he did to the nation and the world. Yeah. So we have this mentality from these people. Plus, you know, all the mean tweets. We can't have that coming back. We have this mentality coming from these people who are propagating and promoting and plastering this stuff all over the place. This idea that if Trump gets back into office, do they think he's just kind of magically just kind of pop back into office? Here's the thing about the whole election, too, as in 2020. Trump's saying it was stolen. There were people who were willing to fight to correct things because we knew it was stolen. A lot of people believe it was stolen. We want to get past it. We don't want to dwell on that. If I had my way, if we could change something about it, I'd arrest every single one of these people from the top down, and we'd put Trump back in there. We'd make this wrong right. If that was up to me, if I was the dictator, that's what would happen. Because more and more and more and more evidence is coming out of the sham election that this thing was. And you can't convince me otherwise. There's way too much evidence. And of course, they debunk. Well, that's been debunked. As soon as you bring them some evidence and show them video evidence of something going on, that's been debunked. Well, there's no widespread evidence that would have affected the election. That's their standard response. They just turn that little flip card over and they read that. It's like calling somebody from customer service when you got to buy a product that you're trying to call. You call them and they say, "Hello, Mr. Blank. My name is Julie. I am from Kansas." "Sure you are. Yeah, you're from Kansas. What's the weather like there in Kansas, Julie?" "It is snowing." "Oh, it's June. It doesn't snow in Kansas in June." "I mean, it is raining." "Yeah, okay, sure it is. Yeah." "And I have this problem with my little product here." And what, you know, you hear these little cards flipping. "Have you tried depowering the unit?" "What does depower mean?" "Okay, I'm going to take you through a process of depowering the unit." "You just mean unplugging it?" "First, you must make sure that you are not standing in water. And then you take the plug and you pull it out of the wall." "Okay. I did that already." "Now, we have to wait 2 minutes." I already did all this. "I'm setting the timer now." "No, I've already waited 2 minutes. I've already done all this stuff. I've done it several times. I've waited 5 minutes. I've waited 10 minutes. I unplugged it overnight one time." "You have 1 minute left." You say, "Okay, okay, whatever." That's the kind of stuff you go through. That's the kind of answers you get from these people when you present them with flat out in your face evidence. In the meantime, they're trying to tell us that Donald Trump was in charge of an insurrection and he should be indicted and sent off to prison because he tried to overthrow an election. An election that was stolen. And he obviously did not try to overthrow the election. But he knew the election was a sham. And he was trying to right a wrong. And these people stopped at nothing. To push it through. And there was nothing you could do to convince them. Anything you said against the election in 2020, any evidence you had of any kind of fraud, you were crushed on social media, in the news. They vilified anybody who came out and said anything about this. Of course, now if you objected to the election at all, now you were one of the insurrectionists. And I can play you video after video after video of Democrats every time Republicans win. Of them coming out with this, "I object and I object and I'm looking for another senator to object with me." Haven't heard much from Maxine Waters lately. Anybody heard from her lately? Which where's she been? She was one of those people who every year she'd come out and just object to all the, anybody who won an election that wasn't Democrat. But, you know, we have to protect democracy, so we're going to get rid of the Electoral College. Because then you can just print out a million votes in one town and makes a difference. You know, it doesn't matter now. Right now, it's too difficult for them. It's too tricky to get all the corruption spread around to different states. Now they only have to have corruption in one state. Oh, look, 39 million people voted in one state. State of California, everybody voted Democrat. Huh, isn't that something? It wasn't one single Republican. We're in a situation here, folks. This is the undermining of our country. You want to talk about an insurrection and a coup? On its face, if you can't see what's going on with people in the high ups of the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the things that are happening there, in collusion with MSNBC and CNN. At the same time, you have all the other distractions and things that have been pre-planned. It's, and I know that BCP, Black Conservative Patriot, Open Source News, he was really going on this little rant about everything being by design. I'm not exactly sure that that there are people in dark rooms planning out. Let's have a shortage on baby formula. I'm not sure that they actually planned that as the way it was. I'm not sure that all the stuff is planned. I'm sure that all the stuff is used. Now, I have a book that I've been working on. It's on the shelf right now. I haven't been working on it very much lately, but it's called The Conspiracy, and it talks about how the conspiratorial stuff works and how it appears to be working in concert with other individuals and other things all over the world. But I have a different theory on the baseline motive, the orchestrator of the whole thing. And it's the book is, it's not going to be a very big book, I don't think. I was going to write this thing. It was going to be really long, drawn out. But I think I'm just going to put it out there, because if I don't do it now, I'm probably going to be dead before it gets the first page done. And I see all these other people putting books out 3 or 4 a month, 3 or 4 a year, whatever. It's like, how do they do that? They're working a full-time job and they're putting out a book every other month. How do you do that? It's got to be a ghostwriter. And if that's the case, then shouldn't the ghostwriter be the one doing all the book tours and the interviews? I don't know. Now, there's a lot of fishy things going on with this whole Texas thing with the shooting. And there's been a lot of questions here. It's how some kid just all of a sudden pops up, gets mad at his grandma, or whoever it was he shot in the face. Takes off in his car, goes driving down the road, wrecks his car in a ditch in front of what'll happen there, in front of a school, gets out, starts shooting people, shooting at the funeral home, shooting around. This is all going on, you know, like 20 or 30, 40 minutes before he even gets to inside the school. Where's the cops? I've got 7 acres and I'm surrounded by, I didn't used to be surrounded by any houses at all, but there are houses that are springing up in areas around me now. I have to be a little more careful. I've got a little 308 sniper rifle. And I was out sighting it in one day. And I'm out there, you know, I was going to take just a couple shots to make sure I'd kind of had it in the general, you know, general grouping. You know, 2 or 3 shots. Get it sighted in with the little scope I had on it. And pulled the trigger one time. Boom. It was right on, so I was pretty happy with that. I was gonna shoot about two or three more rounds. I went over and I was looking at the target, looking at everything, looking, you know. And I noticed as I was kind of going on one side of the house, I noticed that my house is like in the middle of the 7 acres. I live at the end of a dead end street, and my driveway starts at the end of the dead end street. Then you go on back, look out, and there's a county officer. It's about, he's basically pulled into my driveway at the end of the driveway there. So I walked out there, see what was going on. Oh, we had a report of hearing some gunshots. Really? That was 2 minutes ago. It was one gunshot. And you show up at my door. How does that work? I don't live in city limits here. Now, I don't know. Maybe one of my neighbors, you know, called. I don't know. Don't know what happened there. It was weird. Now, the county offices are about a mile away from my house. Maybe about 2 miles. The headquarters for the county sheriff's office. Probably about a mile and a half. I can only imagine that they probably heard my gunshot, actually, from there. Because there's also a shooting range that the county uses that's between me and them and the office itself. And I hear all hours of the day and night, I hear them practicing over there. You know, rapid fire, machine guns, the whole thing. Shot, you know, shots being fired, blah, 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 all kinds of stuff. You know, flashbangs, the whole thing. They're always over there practicing. Fine with me. Makes my dogs go nuts, especially when they do it in the evening. But that, you know, I don't show up at their doorstep. Hey, what are you guys doing over here? I got to know what you're doing. I heard reports of shots being fired. My suspicion is that they probably have one of those shot detector deals. Like they have in some cities where they can detect shots being fired. And that I would assume maybe they've got one of those where they're experimenting with it or something. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. And they got nothing else to do because it's a busy county, but you know, not that busy. Anyway, I digress. It's all speculation. So inflation, Peter Schiff, by the way, he's a guy who is an economist. By the way, I am not a doctor or a lawyer or an economist or a financial counselor or any kind of a CPA or a BPA. Any kind of a, I am just a guy with a microphone. I'm not an epidemiologist or a doctor or a surgeon or any of those things. I've got a bunch of opinions and I'll share them with you. And that's where I go with that. Peter Schiff was discussing some things. I think he might've actually been on CNN actually. And he was talking about how the inflation is going to drive, basically what we're going to see is a collapse of the U.S. economy. Now, you have to understand, if you're looking at the George Soroses of the world, or the people who are the big people behind the world, when they talk about the 1%, and they're talking about the working class 1%. They're not talking about them. And when you're talking about the world's 1%, you're talking about the Western society. Because 1% of the world's population, or 10, or even, you know, not even 10%, most of the world lives in what we would call poverty, below the poverty line. In this country, we have a different standard for poverty line. The poorest people in our nation are far better off than the average person in the world. That's the kind of contrast we have here. And again, this is another reason why they're beating down our door down at the southern border, coming across the line. It's these people are not refugees. They're not running from some war that broke out in South America. They're running here because of economic situations, because their socialist systems are collapsing and they're coming here to vote for more socialism. Peter's right. The thing, the problem with this is that this is what they want. They need to have the American dollar collapse. They need to have the dollar unpinned from oil. Now, this whole thing is going on right now with Ukraine could potentially lead to that. Putin has seen some extremely large amounts of income, you know, in oil sales in spite of all the other issues that are going on, he's selling his oil now in rubles, and people are paying him for it. Countries are buying it. And then you got Pete Buttigieg coming out blaming the oil companies in the country, in our country, for our energy issues, for the price of gas. See, and they're going to blame, you have to realize this all stems back. They're waiting just for long enough. They're going to, I guarantee you, because the election's coming up, they're going to start rolling out this idea that our economic woes right now are, one, because of COVID, and because COVID wasn't stopped because Donald Trump didn't stop it. Before the 2020 election, all you heard was, he could have saved, this president screwed up and messed up, and he could have, this outbreak could have been stopped, and all we would have had to do was wear masks, and we could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. It's estimated that 250,000 lives could have been saved by just wearing masks. This is what Biden was saying to us. And then with all the mask mandates and even with the vaccine, I call it a vaccine, I guess it's a vaccine, with all the shots, as well as the mandated shots, and yet still, under the Biden administration, we lost more people to COVID in the same amount of time that he was in office, as Trump had to deal with COVID in his office. And nobody says a word. Media is completely silent on it. All you hear is crickets. That's it. Just nothing but let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the January 6th insurrection. That's all we hear. Why? Why do you think that they want to collapse the dollar? Why do you think they want to bring everything down? We, as the 1% here in this country, they have to bring the value of the dollar down. They have to bring our economy to a crashing halt. They can't raise the income and the productivity of everybody else in the world. So they have to bring us down to that level. They have to basically turn us into a third world country. And that way they're the ruling class, and no one can ever attain that anymore. No one can ever rise up unless they choose them to rise up. You can't rise up on your own and become somewhat something in this country anymore, because that's not the way individualism works. That's the way of individualism, and they don't want individualism. They want, all they want is winners and losers that they pick. Because then you have the caste system of the oligarchs, the ruling class, the elites, that they think that they're elite. Because they know best. They know what's best for us, and they'll just tell us, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy because we said so. You'll just go about your little automatron life. You'll get your little Game Boy. You'll get your little movies that you want to watch. The entertainment from Hollywood will keep plugging stuff into your head to give you these ideas. We're going to rewrite history for you. I was recently watching this guy go through, he was a school teacher. He was going through this whole thing of history books and why history books, why I don't like history books. He was going way back. The oldest history book he had was 1997. Obviously, this kid is, you know, he thinks he's getting old, I guess. He's probably maybe 40. He's probably graduated college in 2021, or, you know, like 21, 22 years old, probably. Became a school teacher. So he's been a school teacher for maybe 20 years, 15 years. He couldn't have been that old, though. I'm pretty sure he graduated probably. It couldn't have been that long. Maybe he's been school teacher for maybe 10 years. And he didn't like history books because of the things that they had depicted in them. And you couldn't edit those things out because they were so wrong about slavery and so wrong about different things in history. Now, keep in mind, when people write history books, back when I was reading history books in the 70s and the 60s, a lot of the things that were in those books were, people were still alive. They still remembered the things that were in those history books. You could show them the book and say, is this what happened? And go, yeah, this is what happened. I was right there. I was there. It was, yeah. I know exactly where I was when that happened. My grandfather, who was in his 90s when he passed away, he was born in the 1800s, the end of the 1800s. He remembers World War I, World War II. Very well. He was a grown man at that time. He remembers going through the 20s, the Roaring 20s, the Depression. And I would ask him questions about the stuff, and he knew. And it was the same things I was reading in my history books. You see, the older the history book is, the closer it was to the actual event. You can't get away with changing things too much. Now, Democrats today realize that the leftist lunatics, the radicals, they realize they can change the history of something on the spot. It's not a matter of rewriting history or changing it a little bit. It's a matter of reporting it in such a way that it never happened that way. Building burning behind you. Well, they're mostly peaceful. Mostly peaceful demonstrations as the burning building is, you know, you got all this chaos going on behind you. You couldn't have, like, turned the camera a different angle and found something. If that was the most peaceful thing going on that you could find there, it wasn't really bolstering your opinion too much. Yes, I'm out here in front of the crash scene. I'm standing in front of this police line tape. And then you see a different shot of that whole thing, and you realize that they just went out by a fence and they tied up some tape, and the tape didn't go anywhere. They were out in the middle of nowhere. They were nowhere near the police line. You see a lady paddling along in a canoe. Yes, the flooding down here. This is downtown. This is the main street here. I'm paddling along here in this. Now, first of all, my first thought was, where's your camera set up? If it's so deep there, how do you have the camera set up there? See, I've dabbled in video and stuff like that a little bit throughout most of my life. It's kind of been a hobby of mine. And I'm always thinking about camera angles and how do you get, you know, how to get the best camera angle here. And so when I watch a movie or when I watch a show, like first time I watched Jurassic Park, I kind of ruined it for everybody else because I was sitting there laughing at everything because I knew that this stuff wasn't real. I knew it was, and it's like this guy gets eaten in a car, and I thought that was kind of funny, the way they depicted it. It was like, oh, that was pretty cool the way they did that, because they made it scary. Everybody in the room was terrified, and I wasn't, because I was thinking, okay, they must have had the cameras here, and this is how they did this, and of course they had this. The guy, you know, the way they cut the film, the way they made it look and the way more suspenseful is kind of, I thought that was really clever. And that's what I'm thinking. Everybody else in the room's thinking, oh, I'd hate to be that guy right now. Oh, they're in this situation. They're like, their stomachs are turning because this guy's about to get eaten by a dinosaur. And it was the furthest thing from my mind. And so I was laughing out loud at this whole thing. And of course that kind of ruined the moment for them. You kind of ruined it when you started laughing. Okay, whatever. You know, you guys know this isn't real, right? This is just it's a movie. You guys understand that? So when I saw this, and of course, this lady's out there in this canoe and she's paddling along, and all of a sudden these two guys walk by in waders and the water's like ankle deep. But they had to make it. You know, it's all this made for TV stuff. And now we have the January 6th commission hiring a producer so they can make this dramatic presentation. Because they know how to you know, and of course, it's not just some producer who knows technical stuff. It's somebody who has been doing this as a living for the news, creating narrative. They hire this guy so they can present this story in a dramatic way and make it believable and convincible. Now, keep in mind, Peter Navarro had nothing to do. Now, Tucker did a pretty good job of exposing this whole thing. In fact, he had Navarro on his show. They couldn't just go down and have Navarro, you know, come in for questioning or anything. They couldn't just do that. Of course, he probably would have balked at it and not complied with what they wanted. They probably would have had to have arrested him and actually hauled him in because he wasn't going to do it because it's a bogus charge. First of all, you've got a committee that has no they have no prosecutorial powers. They had to submit this stuff to wonderful Merrick Garland. You know how I feel about him. And of course, he just issues the warrant for his arrest. They just anything that they submit to him, he will do. He is salivating with this idea of being able to. He's just waiting for them to give him an indictment to take Trump down, to haul him in cuffs. That's what they want to do. They want that optic. They wanted the optics of Peter Navarro, close man to the president, close advisor to the president, gets hauled off from an airport as he's trying to flee. He was flying to an interview. He was supposed to be on somebody's show that night, so he was going to the airport to take a flight, domestic flight somewhere else to get. They were concerned he was attempting to flee. Why would he want to flee? Why would he flee? He had nothing to do with January 6th. He wasn't even working at the White House at the time. He was like an economic advisor or something. But he's been very vocal about the January 6th commission and what a bogus thing it is. So they had to take him down publicly. So they waited till he went to the airport, made this big, big show of it because it's all political theater. And of course, if they can get him and put him in shackles, then of course, all these people around the president, they're all being hauled off to prison. That gives them their little 15-second soundbite that they can then put in front of the public and say, oh yeah, all these people around the president, they're all being hauled in. They're all a bunch of lawbreakers. Look at the job that they're doing. The January 6th commission is going after all these people. You know, I part of me wants to, you know, execute justice in this situation. But I realize there is coming a day when all these people are going to stand before God. And it's going to be up to him. And I'm not telling God what he's going to do. I'm not saying what God's going to do. I don't know. And I'm not saying that. I don't know. I'm leaving that up to him. What I do know is there is no escaping God's justice. None of us can escape that. Now, there is forgiveness and there's mercy and there's, you know, his goodness goes beyond our understanding and our belief. Our ability to wrap our brains around it. Well, that's what I mean by our belief. We cannot understand it. It goes well beyond. I can only stand before God with who I am and the advocate that I know that I'm trusting in. Because I know I'm guilty. And there's no way out of that. My only hope is in the Messiah. The sacrifice that he made. There's nothing I can do to add to that. There's nothing I can do to assist in that process other than accepting it. But I guarantee you at the end of the road, we will know, we will understand, we will experience and understand and know all of the things that have gone on. All the atrocities that have ever been committed from day one, from Adam's first sin, till the end of time. We will, all the little details, every idle word will be revealed and exposed. That I do know. What God does with that is going to be perfect and just, and it will all make sense. But I do know that there's people right now who are thinking that they're getting away with something. They will not get away with it. In fact, it would be more merciful for them to be punished now than the punishment they're going to receive in eternity. But that gets complicated, and I'm not a theologian. Theologian? I'm a theological alienogen. I may not be a theologian, but I am a theological alienogen. Okay, so I've got work to do today. The boat is going in the water today, and I've got to get on with my life here. You know, it is 7:53, June 7th, 2022, and this has been the news according to me. I just want to say I want to thank you for listening, taking the time to listen, even if you put it on double speed just to get through it. Get past all the drivel. I want to thank you for praying for the nation, praying for our leaders. And let's stand up and be strong and uphold the founding principles of the nation any way we can. Stand for those things, and let's continue to talk about individual rights with people. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Have a great rest of your week. I'm not going to make any promises on a show tonight. I tried to do a show last night. It was getting kind of loud with the music there, folks. Take care. God bless.